are still in our series titled God's Amazing Promises. You know, the best way for us to get through life, whether we are believers in Jesus or whether we're still trying to figure this whole thing out on whether I want to put my faith in Jesus, the best way for us to get through life is by putting our trust in God, in our Creator. When we begin to trust Him, we begin to understand that He has our best interest in mind, that He has laid out a pathway for our lives. And if we listen to His voice and if we follow His guidance, we will walk down that path. And even if we stumble off that path, He will gently get us back on where we need to be. Trusting God will see us through every situation. And it will help us stay positive. And when chaos happens, it will keep us from freaking out and help us to draw on His strength. And that's where that trust builds. Speaking of trust, who here, when you came into this sanctuary, checked out your chair before you sat in it? Did anybody inspect their chair? Like really inspect it, like make sure the legs were good and the back was good? And I think we got rid of all the ones where the seats come up. So if that's your inspection, it doesn't work with me today. But who actually inspected their chair so they could sit in it? Or were you like me and you just sat in the chair? There's an automatic trust that the chair is going to hold me and support me and not come out from under me. There's that trust that's there. There are things in our lives where we have an automatic trust that things are going to happen. And that is how God wants us to go through life. Trusting Him automatically that He's got our best interest in mind and that He will see us through every situation. When we build this kind of trust with Him, His promises and the experiences we have, when those promises come to play in our lives, we'll build that trust even more. There's a couple promises that we have. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "For God can be trusted to keep His promise." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "God is faithful to do what He says." Just these two verses alone exemplify the very character of God. He is trustworthy. He always keeps His promises. He is perfect. He does not make mistakes. He is eternal, and He does not forget. He is faithful, and He has all the power. He is a loving God that wants nothing but the best for us. He created each one of us in a very special, unique way that only each of us has. There's no two of us alike. So we are all different. We're all created by Him. And if His word says it, we can trust that He means it. So today, we're going to look at a promise that Jesus gives us when it comes to facing obstacles in our lives. And this is a promise that tells us we have the ability to move mountains. That's what the promise is that we're going to look at today. And we're actually going to look at a couple of passages that I personally wrestle with. So we're going to work this out together. The first one is Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 14. So Jesus, right before this, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, Peter, James, and John were like Jesus' inner three, the three guys, the three disciples that did some things with Jesus that nobody else did. So they have this amazing experience that we won't get into, but on a mountain. And so they're coming down. And it says, "At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, 'Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Jesus replied, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Gosh, we're gonna talk about that. Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told him. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." So, doesn't it seem like Jesus was a little frustrated with the disciples here? Like, my picture of Jesus with me is like a loving, caring, nurturing creator. Like, I would probably shrink in a corner if he said to me, "Chip, how long must I put up with you? You faithless, corrupt little man." I mean, that's what we're reading here, right? It's right here. Jesus was a little frustrated with the disciples. So this is how my mind works. What was the scene like that Jesus walked upon? Like, were these guys just like, "Ow, ow, ouch," you know? Or was one of them was like, Andrew was like, "Well, sometimes he holds his hand like this, and he cocks his head, and you ever see that one eyebrow come up? And that's when he says, 'Come out,' or 'Be healed.' And yeah, but no, you're not, you know, put your foot right." And like, what? Sometimes I picture this like when you're making fun of the boss and he walks in the room. I don't know what really happened. But I picture this kind of maybe a kind of a chaotic, maybe a little frenzy-like a scene. And Jesus comes up and they're like, "We don't know what to do. Thank goodness you're here." And Jesus is like, "I have taught you guys how to do this. You have seen me do this. You have all the power to do this. You know how to do this." But yet they didn't. And he got a little frustrated with them. And I don't even mind him getting a little frustrated, but I don't even see an apology in here. Like, I would feel a little more comfortable too if it said, "And then afterwards, Jesus and the disciples were having lunch, and he said, 'Listen, guys, I'm really sorry. I didn't have breakfast today. I'm kind of grumpy. I'm hungry.'" No apology. But he is Jesus, so I'm okay with that. But when I read this and I wonder what exactly caused Jesus to react the way that he did. But then it says, afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately. And again, like, who did it? Like, "You do it." "No, you do it." I'm not, no. "Let him have dinner first. I'm not asking him anything yet. No way. You were the one that was doing this thing." They asked him privately, and Jesus used it as a teachable moment, maybe even a defining moment for the disciples. And he says, "Listen, guys, you don't have enough faith. You were doubting. You were guessing. You didn't believe it could happen. You were trying to do something and conjure up things that, you know," again, I don't know if that's what he said, but he just said, "You don't have enough faith." And then he says, "If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Anything is possible." Anything. So the analogy here is awesome, because a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that there is. But it grows into this big tree, 30 feet tall, I think, 20 feet wide, lots of branches. Jesus is saying, if you had that little speck of faith, you could move mountains. Nothing would be impossible for you. Nothing. When thinking, and I think too, what Jesus was doing here is he was trying to get the disciples to think big. He wants us to think big. Don't think small. And like, when I was thinking about this passage earlier in the week, I was like, what do you mean think big, God? Well, like when you're asking for something, let's say you want that $500 thing in the store, you know, and you're afraid to ask your mom and dad for it, so you ask for the $100 one. But they already had a $700 budget in mind. But you said, this one here is good enough. Jesus says, think big. Think big. Because my budget for you, my is unlimitless. I have unlimitless power for you that I will do through you. And that's what he's saying. Think big. Go for broke. And here's something else too. Because here, nothing is too big for God that he can't handle it. Nothing is too big for God. And also, check this out. The disciples just had a big failure moment. I mean, they had a chance to do something incredibly life-changing in this family's life without Jesus around. And they failed. And then they got scolded for it publicly in front of everybody. But see, we don't find success unless we have some failures. And Jesus used that failure as a teachable moment to let them know, listen, it just takes a little speck of faith. You didn't even have that little tiny speck of faith that you were working with. I believe that God does some of his greatest moves on the other side of a failed moment. This was a failed moment. Jesus came in and then he healed the little boy. We cannot be afraid of failures because God is even in the midst of those. I don't like losing. I don't like failing. But I deal with failures better than I do with losses, because losses are, you know, like I coach upward soccer, and everybody that coaches around me knows that I'm the team they can beat. But we have fun. I don't like to lose. But I know that in a failed moment, I'm not going to have success if I don't have some failures. Because failures you can learn from. Failures you can grow out of. And failures you can find Jesus in the midst of. He's right there with you, cheering you on. I honestly think that in that moment with the disciples and Jesus, that was probably an act of tough love. If I really want it without joking and everything, that was probably a moment of tough love. And he was probably just waiting for somebody to ask so that he could teach them. Sitting around the campfire, listen, guys, the sky's the limit. You just have to have a little bit of faith. And my Father will move miracles. He'll move mountains through you. When we focus on God's promises and we understand that he's in the midst of all situations, failures and successes, wins and losses, when we focus in on him, we no longer base our thinking on our own abilities. We know what our abilities are. What happens is we stay focused on Jesus. Because when we're focused on Jesus, the mountain isn't as big as it appears. And when we think big, we begin to evaluate life in a new way. We begin to understand that even though this is a big obstacle in my life, my God is bigger than all these obstacles. My God will see me through it, over it, under it, around it. He'll move it. And instead of thinking, how can this be done? How can I get through this? Our mindset is, I want to see where you are at in this, God. What can God do in the midst of this? Our focus is no longer on our own abilities, but it's on Jesus. In other words, we take our eyes off of the impossible and we focus on the possible through Christ Jesus. And all things are possible. Is God going to move the mountain in this particular moment in time? Is he going to move it on my behalf? Is it something that I need personally, or am I standing in the gap for somebody else? Am I praying for somebody else? Is God gonna move it? Because if I don't see God moving with something, then what I do, if I don't see him moving, you know, mountains don't get, here's another thing, we're talking mountains. Do you think a mountain can get moved overnight? Sometimes these things take time. And if I don't see God moving in the midst of things, then what I do is I begin to ask, Jesus, where are you in this? Where are you at? Are you going to move this mountain for me? Are you going to move on my behalf? Do I need to adjust my thinking a little bit? Because maybe the mountain isn't going to be moved the way you think it's going to be moved. Do I need to adjust my thinking? Do I need to set my sights a little over here or a little over there? And personally, what I find happens is that begins the conversation with me and Jesus. And again, the conversation isn't, how is this thing going to get moved? It's, Jesus, what do I need to focus on? Where are you at? How is this going to happen? And he may answer me right away. He may wait for something to happen. He may be waiting for the right things to cross on my path for me to go, oh, there it is. That's what I need to do. That's how it's going to happen. I am convinced that God wants to do miracles with and through us. And that's why we have a promise in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which says this, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might think or ask. This is the sky's the limit kind of thing. This is to me an amazing promise, because it is through his mighty power at work within us that an infinite amount of miracles, an infinite amount of mountain moving, an infinite amount of blessings will come our way through us. I think that what we talked about last week when it comes to God's promise to guide us through life and God's promise for us to be able to move mountains kind of has something in common, and that is we need to step into it. Well, oftentimes we get wrapped up in praying and God, oh God, oh God, please, 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 I really need you to, I need this job, I need my marriage to work out, our finances, please, 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 oh God. But if we don't step into it, we're not going to see him. We have to be proactive with him to see these mountains be moved, to see these blessings take place. And then you get in Ephesians 3:20 where God says, you know what, I just want to bless your socks off today. Before the prayer is out of your mouth, it's done. We can cry out to Jesus all day long about moving a mountain on our behalf, but if we don't step into it, trusting in the promises that he gives, then it's that much harder for us to see where he is working at so that we can join him in the mountain moving process. God wants to work with us in all of this. And it's possible that instead of moving the mountain out of your way, he might have another plan. He might want you to go up and over the mountain, maybe around the mountain, maybe through the mountain, because he has a plan to do something with you on that journey. It's much easier for him to move the mountain out of our way, because we don't have to kind of fight for what we're praying for. We don't have to take the long way around or over or whatever. But if he wants to travel with us over and up and down the mountain or around, or even just drill a hole through it with us, that's where we learn from him. That's where our testimony grows with him. Because we can look back and say, it wasn't easy, but my God was with me the whole time. And that's something that we can never forget. Jesus is with us the whole time. That is where the adventure in him grows, and that is where the trust in him grows. And I want to look at another passage here, kind of round third and come home with this one here. This is in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, and we'll start in verse 12. This is another one that I wrestle with. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Anything? Anything. Like it's a hot summer day and I'm miles out and I'm working and it's hot and I forgot my water jug and I'm thirsty. Anything? A sandwich? A car? A house? I think we're getting closer there. Anything. What if it was anything and you're like, whew, I am parched, and then out of nowhere comes somebody with, you know, an extra water jug. I don't know. Nick, you're right, it can happen. But Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Has anybody here asked for something and it didn't happen? I'm the only one. All right, just me. You don't have to raise your hand. But you know, I struggle with that passage. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. So I say, Jesus, what do you mean by that? Because I struggle with that. That's something that I wrestle with. And when I say struggle, I mean I don't get upset about it, but it's something that I want to wrestle out with. I want to walk through the valley with Jesus and say, what do you mean by that? Well, first of all, you know, there's always a little bit of mystery with our Creator. And I'm okay with that. I don't mean like mystical, you know, mystery. But he did create everything that we see and everything around us and each one of us and all the different characteristics that we have. I mean, he's allowed to not reveal everything about himself to us, so I'm okay with that. So I say there's a little bit of mystery mixed with trust. I trust in Jesus. I trust he has my best interest in mind every time. And then he's saying, though, whoever believes in me will do the same works that I do and even greater. Well, what does that mean? That's kind of an easier one for me because, I mean, well, Jesus healed almost everybody who crossed his path. He fed thousands. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He himself raised from the dead. What can I do that's greater than that? Well, I can do the same miracles that he did, but I'm not God. So he does those miracles through me. That's a greater work than if it was God here on earth doing those works. But ask anything in my name and it will be done. Anything. Well, something that helps me with this passage right here, it just helps me with this, is what are we asking for? Is it something we should be asking for? Do we hold any grudges, or is there some unforgiveness, or is there some immorality in our lives? Is there lots of doubt? Is there a sin issue? Is there something in our lives that quite possibly may be keeping the blessing from coming our way, the answer from coming our way? That's where we have to kind of evaluate our lives. All right, Jesus, I really, really need this to happen. You know, this is like more than a sandwich. This is like my marriage is in shambles. I lost my job. Our everything we have invested has just fallen through. It's all gone. I'm starting a new business. You know, these are real life big prayers. I got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Jesus, you said ask anything in your name. And I'm not seeing it. So ask Jesus, is there anything, why am I not seeing it? And again, the conversation will start with him and he'll begin to show you some things. Or it could be none of those. It could be absolutely nothing is in your life that is blocking a blessing from coming your way. Fact of the matter is, God is God. He will move as he pleases. He will sit still as he pleases. And that is something that sometimes, unfortunately, we just have to understand. And what we need to understand is not to get hung up on why we don't see him moving, but to know that he is with us in all things. Because if we begin looking for him in it, we will see him. We might not get the answer to our prayers, but if we look for him in it, we'll find him. Faith moves mountains. That's faith. That's trust in him. All other kinds of things, doubt and sin and just there's all other things in there. That's a whole big lump of stuff can make mountains. Even if a mountain isn't getting moved, are we still able to see God in the midst of our lives and the blessings that he is bringing our way? You ever have one of those moments where you were frustrated in life and you were praying for God to move on your behalf and you were praying and praying and you got frustrated and maybe you just kind of like, oh, you just went off, and then the next day he just plopped this huge blessing in your lap and you felt silly? Again, am I the only one? You know, and you're almost like a little embarrassed, like, oh, you got me, Lord. We just got to look for him, and sometimes we have to wait. But that waiting is what builds trust. That waiting is part of the adventure. And what I really think it all comes down to is Jesus getting us to think big. Big things don't always happen overnight. They take time. Don't hold back when it comes to asking him to move on our behalf, to move on your behalf, to move on a family member's behalf. Don't hold back. Bottom line, I think that's what Jesus is saying here. Ask for anything and see what you get. Go for it. And know that Jesus will do whatever it is we ask of him. Timing has to be right sometimes. That's okay with me. I'm fine with that. And if we don't see the answer, don't give up. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep talking to Jesus about it. And in the meantime, continue to look and listen and observe and find him in the midst of your daily routine. And another little key to all this is remain thankful. No matter what, remain thankful. Thankful, honest to goodness thankfulness. Thankful for who Jesus is. Thankful for who I am in Jesus. Thankful for everything you've done for me, Jesus. Even when I'm having a bad day and things just don't even seem like they're gonna work out, I've kind of made it a habit that before I fall asleep, I thank God for everything. I just thank him. I'm so thankful I'm at where I'm at in life. I'm thankful that even though I don't understand how this is going to work out, it's going to work out. And it's not just words to make me feel better. It's honest to goodness, I'm thankful, Jesus. I know that you know the outcome of this. Whether or not I know how it's going to play out, I know you have the best outcome for me in mind. And I think that being thankful and those kinds of conversations at the end of the day is what helps our faith grow and our trust stay intact with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us to be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful in everything. It may not always be easy, but remaining thankful in all circumstances keeps us focused on Jesus at all times. So I'll wrap it up real quick with this. I think we all start out small in our faith, small like a mustard seed. But as we see what God can do, we find out that anything is possible with him. And Jesus tells us that out of the smallest amount of faith, we can grow some of the biggest accomplishments. Out of the smallest amount of faith can grow some of the biggest accomplishments that Jesus will do through us. Because Jesus wants us to think big. He wants us to go for broke. He wants us to think the sky's the limit and beyond. And he wants us to expect him to move on our behalf in all circumstances, whether that is for us personally or for somebody else, a friend, a family member. Because when people see the mountains that Jesus moves on our behalf, the Father is glorified. And when people see the mountains that move on our behalf, they are going to want to know how that happened. And then the Son is glorified. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Lord God, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Jesus, that there are passages in there that we can wrestle with and struggle with, but I just thank you, God, that you are with us in every moment of every day of our lives, God. And that with you, all things are possible. That the smallest amount of faith will move the biggest mountains in our lives. And I thank you for that, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, for that promise that we can ask anything in your name, and you will do it for us. I just want to pray for everybody in this room here this morning, God, that as we move into a time of worship, God, that we can pour our hearts out to you, and that you will respond in a way that moves a mountain. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so at this time, we will pray for our offering.